All right, so tonight my sermon is titled, Keeping the Vision of the Lord's Work. We're going to be looking at Peter's life tonight, and this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. And basically, it's going to be Peter and Jesus having a conversation, and we're going to look at that. So what's going on exactly is this. In John chapter 18 is when Jesus is betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Right after that, in chapter 19, is when Jesus is crucified. And then in chapter 20 is Christ's resurrection. In John chapter 21, like I said, it's Peter and Jesus having this conversation. They're talking, and we're going to look into that. But first, let's talk about chapter 20 for a minute. So what happens in chapter 20 is we have Mary Magdalene, and who Mary Magdalene is a woman who Jesus cast seven devils out of. And she's going to the tomb of Jesus. Jesus has just been crucified, and they put him in the tomb, and she's headed there. When she gets there, she realizes Jesus isn't there anymore. And then she goes back and tells Peter and John. And Peter and John, they race literally to the tomb, and when they get there, they realize Jesus isn't there. They don't really know what to say or do, and so they just go back home. Mary Magdalene stays there, and she's weeping, and she's upset, and she just wants to know where the body of her Lord is. And so what happens is Jesus reveals himself and shows himself to Mary and just tells her that, tell my brethren that I'm going to send up into my Father. And so Mary Magdalene goes to Peter and James, John, all the disciples, and tells them what Jesus had told her. And that's when we, let's all look together at chapter 20, verse 19. And I want you to catch this part here. So John 20, 19, then it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. That then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. I want you to catch this. It says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Right here, he's giving them a vision. He's giving them a purpose. He's saying the same thing when he first came as when he had died and come back. He's saying the same thing. My Father sent me to be here to serve, to give my life, and I'm going to send you in the same way. Let's go to chapter 21 and verses 1 through 3, and let's get started in chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, and two other of his disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith to them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. First notice that Peter gets distracted. Jesus in chapter 20 has just told them, hey, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. This is like the greatest moment in history. All the prophets were pointing to this day and pointing to this time when Jesus was to be crucified, and Peter's out fishing. You see, Peter got distracted. And the greatest moment in history, and Peter's going back to what he was doing before Jesus, before he met Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew 4:18 quickly. First book in the New Testament, Matthew 14, and we'll look at that when they first met. Matthew 4:18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And so Jesus, when they first met, said, hey, I want you to stop fishing and I want you to follow me. And we see that Peter goes back to what he first was called to not do. And you see, Peter got distracted. He forgot the vision that Jesus had given him when they first met. In the same way, we get distracted from following the Lord by every little thing, from the Lord's work, from the things of God. Jesus didn't want him fishing then, and he doesn't want Peter fishing now. The things that you left when you decided to follow Christ, Christ doesn't want you to go back to those. He wants you to leave those things and put them behind and put them away for good. And so what are those things that distract us? And, you know, you hear a lot of these things, but I don't think we realize how urgent this is. You know, what happens is it's TV before prayer. And that's a fact. And, you know, we sit, we've had a long day, and got him. We've had a long day, and, you know, people just want to sit, Christians just want to sit in front of the TV and watch TV before prayer. You know, I would say this. I think we need to take the TV and we need to throw it out the window. Amen. And then when our neighbor says, hey, what are you doing? We just tell him, hey, we're casting the devils out of our house. Because that's exactly what it is. And, you know, you who have cable television and different things on your TV, you can't tell me that you can control cable television. Cable television has control of you. Because it's there's tons of sin and wickedness, and the people who are putting every single thing on cable television are ungodly, unsaved, wicked people, and they don't work for God, they work for Satan. And that's a fact, and we need to take the TV and we need to throw it out the window. And we need to get back to prayer. You know, I've got these little 3x5 cards, and I just want to encourage you. I write prayers on this, and I keep track of it, and I write the dates down that when I pray, because I want to take prayer seriously. And Satan, he wants to take something that's important, and he wants to distract us and just waste our time and get us distracted from what's important for the things that mean something. You know, these video games, they're out of hell. They straight up are out of hell, and you can't tell me otherwise, because when I was growing up, my parents allowed me to have video games, and they just wasted my time. They just wasted my life away. I did nothing for God when I was a teenager because I was just doing video games, distracted from the work of the Lord. And I worked with a guy who was 25, and he lived with his parents, and he told me, he's like, I just want to be a professional video game player someday, and I have this one game, and I go to these competitions and everything. I'm like, man, you're a loser, you know, and this is what we're teaching our kids, you know, to do growing up in society, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have a TV in my house, and because here's the thing, what's the point of your TV in your house if you don't have cable television, which you shouldn't have? To watch the 4 okay acceptable movies there are in the entire world? I mean, how many times are you going to watch the 4 acceptable movies over and over again before you're like, wow, this is boring? You know, it doesn't make any sense. I don't want my kids growing up with a television set in our house and thinking it's okay to have one of those in our house when it's used for so much wicked things. Most of the stuff on television, it might be an acceptable show or something, but then all of a sudden, you know, the lady's dressed in short shorts that's in the movie, or she's dressed in a low-cut shirt or whatever. And most Christians don't even think twice about it because they've been brainwashed, and they're just used to seeing that in our society. They're just used to seeing that on TV, and it's all trash. You know, it's movies and media before weekly prayer sheet. You know, these people go to our church, and I love these people, and so when I put my name on here, I don't feel bad because we pray for these people on this prayer sheet. And Satan wants to take our precious time and waste it and get us distracted. It's fake book before the things of God. You know, this tell you all my business and my neighbors while I'm at it. You know, fake book. You know, it's media that we do not need in our life. What we need in our life is prayer and praying to God Almighty and Bible reading. And we need the things of God, and we need to not forget the vision of the Lord's work. How about, let's read this. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thine mind. This is the first and great commandment. Loving God is the first thing you should do, and it's the greatest thing you can do. We're talking about distractions, and Satan wants to distract us from what's important and from loving our God who died on the cross for us and saved us. And we get all mad that people and preachers preach against TV and television, all this stuff. But I think Christ's mad that we're neglecting the one who purchased us, the one who bought us. And we're putting television before the things of God and before our Savior. How about marriage? Are you married couples on the same page about the work of the Lord? Or is one of the two spiritual and the other one's not? We need to be on the same page. Men, you need to get your head straight, and you need to just lead your wife. And you need to say, hey, sweetie, we're going to church this morning. It's Sunday. Sweetie, we're going to church this morning. It's Sunday night. We're going to church this morning. It's Wednesday night. We're going, it's Saturday morning or it's Friday evening. We need to get ready for soul winning tomorrow. So let's get our stuff ready and let's not sleep in. It's Saturday soul winning. And you know, man, it's attractive to your wife when you lead spiritually. What your wife doesn't want is some deadbeat, pussyfooting around man who just doesn't do anything and won't lead. Oh, I don't know. I guess we'll go to church today. I guess I feel like it. I kind of have to do this or that. You know, let's do what we need to do and let's lead. Ephesians 5:31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. We need to be on the same page spiritually, and we need to be on the same page so that we can do the work of the Lord. How about singles? Are you distracted? You see, I have a friend that I've known for 10 years. He's a good friend of mine. And, you know, for the last 5 years, he's had a rain cloud over his head, and he's been going through this pity party because he wants to get married, and he hasn't been able to find the right person. And kind of because of it, he won't go to church. He won't do anything for the Lord. He won't do anything. And I can't even talk to him anymore. I can't even call him. He lives in another state. I can't even talk to him anymore. And it's become a great distraction in his life. And if you're single here tonight, you need to just understand that it's not about what you want. It's about the Lord, about the Lord's work. And don't let that be a distraction to you. I just heard from Pastor Anderson's church, a gentleman who was single. And man, that guy was like on fire, sold out since I met the guy. And now he is going to get married. And so it's the same advice that I told my friend. I told my friend, I said, why don't you just get sold out? Why don't you just get fired up for the work of the Lord? And then maybe God will bless you with a wife. How about finances? You know, is your job can easily end up owning you. And Proverbs 23:5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If riches are not from the Lord, I don't want them. Don't get distracted. Put God first. It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to go obtain riches, but I'm going to take Saturdays to do it. I'm going to take Sundays to do it. I'm going to take Wednesdays to do it. That doesn't make any sense. That's not from the Lord. That's you just putting something before the Lord. Is your job getting in the way? You know, get that thing figured out. Are you budgeted? You know, if we're not budgeted, that's going to cause us to be in a bad position where we have to get a job that we're not supposed to. And so you need to think about these things. These are distractions in our life to distract us from what's important, the work of the Lord. Let's go to the next point here. And it says, how about this retirement idea? And here's what I mean. If God's blessed you financially to retire, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is there's a lot, and don't take this the wrong way. I want to help you. The problem is in churches in past time that I've been into, the seniors act like they're retired from the Lord's work. And it's the truth. And let's be honest. In the churches that I've been to, maybe not so much in this church, I don't know. But in churches that I've been to, the elderly people, they don't go soul winning. They just come to church and they want to enjoy the service, but they don't want to give anymore. They're tired. They want to come and relax in the service. And I don't know, I want to help you because the Bible says differently in Titus. Let's go to Titus. In Titus chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. The Bible says in Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so, you know, I understand that age can be talking about people in their 30s who are mature in the Lord, people in their 40s who are mature in the Lord, people who are 50 that are mature in the Lord, and so on and so forth. But I believe that there's godly people who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s that have a duty here to the rest of the believers in church. And I think this is an important thing that we need to talk about. You know, because here's the thing, because get my point here. My grandparents, I asked my grandma one time, and they're in their 80s now. My grandpa was a Baptist, fundamental Baptist preacher for like 40 to 50 years. And I asked my grandma, I said, Grandma, you know, how often do you read the Bible? And she's like, well, we read it 4 times a year. And they're in their 80s now, and they probably read it like 200 times in their life. And I'm thinking, man, that's awesome. You know, they've taken the time that God's given them, and they're being filled with the Word of God. You know, God forbid you're retired and, you know, you don't read the Bible once a year. You know, you ought to be an example to the believers and be so filled with the Word of God that you'll be able to bless somebody else. You'll be able to take care of somebody else. We ought to be investing into people. You ought to be investing into people. You ought to be having couples over to your house and have them, you know. The only people who've ever had my wife and I over to their house is my mother and my grandparents, to where they've really been, you know, a Titus chapter 2 group of people. And I just think that there's some godly people in our church and that are going to come in our church that they could help out the younger people who are just getting into church. And I think that's important. And my grandparents, you know, they consistent in Bible reading. Every time I visited my grandparents' house, they were always reading the Bible. They're always praying at night before we went to bed, like clockwork. They never stopped. They're always consistent. My grandma always was modest. She was always wearing what she was supposed to be wearing. My great-grandparents, the sweetest Christians you ever met in your life, they had their little couch with their little stands there, and their Bibles were always there, and that's where they read the Bible. And my grandma was always talking about the Lord, strong in faith. And we need people like that to keep on going in our generations. And we don't want these generations to die off. We need to raise the next generations, because my grandparents are in their 80s now. And my other grandparents are in their 80s now. And a lot of them are died off, and we need to grow that next generation. What's distracting you from church attendance? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 13, we'll start. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13 says, "Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Go to verse 17. "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Verse 19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Verse 20, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, here's my point. I'm in control, not my body. My body's not going to tell me whether I go to church or not. My body's not going to tell me whether I go soul winning or not. My body's not going to dictate anything to me, what I see, what I say, what I listen to, where I go, how late I stay up, how late I wake up, what I eat, if I eat, if I go to church. My body is the Lord's, the Bible says. The Bible says it's the Lord's, and the Lord is for the body, and the body is for the Lord. And ladies, if you would get this idea, your dress standards would change completely. You know, our pastor has been preaching about dress standards heavy for quite a while now, since we've gotten here. And the thing is if you just took this scripture and believed it and applied it to your life, you wouldn't have any issues with dress standards. If you just got this idea, hey, my body's not mine, it's not mine to just show off, or mine to attract the opposite sex, or mine to feel a certain way, it's the Lord's. Amen. You know, we would have a big change in the standards and the way people dress in our church. Because, I mean, that's just a fact. So, my question is, are you distracted? Are you distracted from the vision of the Lord's work? What is distracting you? Let's go to John chapter 21, verse 15, and let's move on to the next point. John chapter 21, our text, verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." First, we saw Peter was distracted. Second, notice Peter's devotion was in question. And let's go to Luke chapter 22 quickly, please. Luke chapter 22, and then we're going to be right back in John. So save your spot. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou thrice deny that thou knowest me." And so, you see, it doesn't matter what you say. What you really are will always come out. Peter's devotion is in question here. because his words don't match up with what he does. Satan is looking for the only skin-deep Christians so that he can destroy them. Let's go to John 13. It's the same exact account, but there's some specifics here that I want to talk about. John 13, verse 36. The Bible reads in John 13, 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, now get this, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And I want you to notice here is that Peter, he was saying the right things, right? Yeah, we want to stick up for the Lord. Yeah, we want to be on the Lord's side. But he said, I'll lay down my life for thy sake. But his devotion was in question. Why? Because he was going to deny Christ. And Jesus said, knowing, he said, wilt thou lay down my life for thy sake? You know, we hear a lot of things. Pastor, I'll be here Sunday night. I'll be here Sunday. I'll be here Wednesday night. You can count on me. Will you be here? Pastor, I'm going to start soul winning. I'll be there. You can count on me. You know, will you be here? I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to start dressing right. Will you? Pastor, I stopped living with so-and-so. I got right. Did you? You know, is your devotion in question is my question to you. Is your devotion in question? Peter was all talk, and he lacked maturity. Let's turn back to John chapter 21, our text, and let's look at 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he told him three times in verse 15, 16, and 17, lovest thou me, lovest thou me, lovest thou me. Notice Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas. You see, Jesus knows you. He didn't say, Peter, lovest thou me. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me. You can't hide your heart from the Lord, and you can't hide who you are from the Lord. He knows you, and, you know, how's your devotion? How's your devotion? The second part there, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What are these? When Jesus says these, he's referring to the fishes. Peter, lovest thou me more than the 153 fishes that you caught? Peter, lovest thou me more than fishing, doing the same thing when I first met you? You know, what are things that we love that we're putting before God? You know, lovest thou me more than your job? Well, obviously, because we only see you on Sundays, because you're working on Sunday nights, because you're working on Saturdays. Lovest thou me more than your hobbies? Well, obviously, because you don't go soul winning because you're doing this, that, and the other. Lovest thou me more than your friends or your sleep? Or do you love your sleep more than God? Obviously, because you don't wake up in the morning to walk with God. You don't stay up late to walk with God. You see, Peter lacked a maturity as a Christian. It was all talk. Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Is your devotion and love for God in question tonight? Let's read in John 21, verse 17. Actually, we'll start it in verse 18. And we're going to move on to our third and final point. The Bible says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Third, I want you to notice that Peter needs direction. Peter needs direction. Peter, he's getting caught up in a business that doesn't concern him. The Christian life is not a competition. It's a direction, and that direction is following Jesus. In verses 15 through 17, Jesus commands Peter, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Our job is to follow everything that Jesus did. That's the direction. In John 20, verse 21, I'll just read these to you. It says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And we just read that. The same way that Jesus came, we're to go in the same way and live a life the way that Jesus did. In Matthew 23:11, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." We're here to serve people, not just come and sit and then leave. We're here to serve people. That's what God has called us to do. 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Our life is not our own. It's here. It's purchased. It's bought so that we can lay it down for people, so we can reach people. The Bible says in Romans 15, 2 through 3, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification," for his good to building up, that means. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Christ gave his life, and he's telling us to give our lives for our neighbor, to please our neighbor and not ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Turn to 1 Peter 5, 1 through 2, and this is the last place we'll turn. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 2. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And notice verse 2, what Peter says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." You see, Peter adopted the vision. He made it his own. Peter was at a low point in his life. He got distracted. Before that, he denied Christ 3 times. His devotion was in question because he had just denied the Lord. Peter needed direction. Peter caught the vision when he met Jesus, and after some mistakes, we see that he kept the vision of the Lord's work. Are you keeping the vision of the Lord's work? You know, we have one life to live for Christ. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It's like a drop in the bucket. And we have this one life to affect all of eternity. And the problem is most of us don't live like that's the truth. Because if we did, there'd be 150 people on Saturday soul winning, not just 50. And we have one life to live for Christ, and there's no greater thing that you can do than soul winning. You know, the question is, for you to go soul winning on Saturdays, hey, you're following the command of God, praise the Lord. But can you do more? Can you do more? Do you just go soul winning, or are you a soul winner? I'll say that again. Do you just go soul winning, or are you a soul winner? I want to go soul winning every day if I can, or during the week when I have time. I don't have a lot of time. I have a family. But you ask my wife. I'll say, hey, I'm going to the grocery store, and she'll call me an hour later, and she's mad. And I'm like, I'm sorry, sweetie. I'm at the park. I saw some people, and I'm witnessing to them. I don't know what to tell you. And you just asked her. I've been consistent in this area since we've been married, and that's the way we ought to live our lives. We ought to just, where's so-and-so? You know, he just disappeared. Well, he's out soul-winning. He's preaching the gospel. He's doing what's important. He's doing the work of the Lord. Are you distracted tonight? What is it that's distracting you in your life? What are the things that you need to take and just throw them out the window? Because they're a devil, because they're a distraction, because they're a Satan. Is your devotion in question tonight? You know, there are some things in your life that you need to get mature, that you need to build up. We all go through a growing point in our life, and, you know, we need to mature. Do you have direction? The direction you need to head on Sunday morning is Verity Baptist Church. The direction you need to head on Sunday night is Verity Baptist Church. The direction you need to head on Wednesday is Verity Baptist Church. The direction you need to head on Saturday is Verity Baptist Church, because this is the work of the Lord. And I didn't come 900 miles to just come to some spoof of a church. I'm coming to a church that's preaching the Word of God, that's following the Word of God, where we can actually follow the work of the Lord, where we can actually do the work of the Lord, where we can actually hear how to get the sin out of our life and how to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I would just say this, man, just choose to man up and come on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Saturday soul winning, and just choose to lead, because women are looking for men who want to lead, and God is looking for men who want to start churches and who to expand the work of the Lord and expand this his vision. Do you have the vision of the work of the Lord tonight? Are you keeping the vision of the work of the Lord? Let's close in prayer.